The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Twitter's the car park outside the pub after closing time, with everyone squaring up to each other to throw the first punch. It was a great line in a piece Philip Nolan has written for the Irish Daily Mail. He joins us now, as well as Aoife Barry, assistant news editor at thejournal.ie. And there was me thinking, Philip, you're hardly ever off Twitter.
No, I must admit I do spend an awful lot of time on it. But, you know, for me, I live alone, I work from home. So for me, it is kind of my office water cooler. I don't think I do much more on it or less than people would during the course of the average working day, or when they get home and talk to family or friends. So it's just a kind of a virtual water cooler for me, yeah.
And yet you feel it's become a bile-filled orgy of malice, a cesspit in which attitudes we thought had long since faded away have suddenly festered again and exploded in pustules of rage on Twitter. Great writing, but tell us why you think that.
Well, you know, rage is kind of one of the predominant emotions I see there nowadays. I mean, particularly in tweets from the United States, from both sides of the Trump, the both pro and anti-Trump camps, I guess. But also, it has facilitated, in many ways, the resurgence of the alt-right. And obviously, because there might be an awful lot of tweeting that's being done from the likes of Russia or, you know, other countries that want to destabilize Western democracies, let's say, it just has become much more polarized than it was in the early days. I mean, I've been there for 8 years, and while it was never exactly cuddly and cozy in maybe the same way Facebook is, you know, the corollary, as I was saying, Facebook is like, you know, your friends around the kitchen table having a chat, and they show you photographs of their holidays and their kids. And Twitter is something completely different. Now, I love it because I get to see views I never would necessarily be exposed to. I've met people from all over Ireland, subsequently in real life, who I never would have met because most of my life has been spent around Dublin. I've met people who work in different professions I would have no direct experience of, and now can ask them, you know, for interesting information about their own lives and what the challenges facing them are. But at the bottom of it all, there is, you know, there is a lot of rage and a lot of anger, and it's expressed very poorly occasionally, even by me occasionally, if I'm being absolutely truthful. I have been intemperate in the past, so I don't like it in myself.
Aoife Barry, you're also a tweeter for the last 8 years.
Yeah.
Do you share Philip's concerns about a deterioration in the standards of behaviour online?
Well, I think there's about 319 million active users on Twitter at the moment. So, you know, that means you're going to have a whole heap of people that you're not going to agree with. You're going to have nice people, mean people, people, you know, many shades in between. And, you know, Twitter is made up of lots of different little worlds, because Twitter to me is like a microcosm of the world as we know it. So you're going to have the positive sides, you're going to have the negative sides. Sometimes I find that I dip in and out of different parts of Twitter that I've never been exposed to before, because of a retweet where somebody reshares a message that somebody else has tweeted. And I realize that there's whole sides of Twitter I literally know nothing about. And you know, sometimes I go through phases where I get rid of the Twitter app on my phone because I just want a bit of a break. But at the same time, I don't think, you know, in our careers, if you're reporters, if you're writers, if you're anything to do with the news and current affairs, you literally can't afford to not be on Twitter or not even have access to it these days, because it is the first place that news breaks. It's where you hear about every single major thing that happens. It's where you find stories. It's where you see what people are talking about. And I can't even count how many stories have come to me from purely seeing them on Twitter first, or how many ideas, how many articles I've read. Twitter is not without its issues at all. It has some serious issues, but it's also super helpful too.
Yeah, but look at some of the issues in the last week. For example, Cyrus Christie, the right back for Ireland in the sad defeat against Denmark last week, he has received racist abuse on Twitter as a result of the outcome of the match. We saw Barry Walsh, who's had to resign from Fine Gael because of consistent calling of women bitch on Twitter. And this type of stuff happens all the time. There seems to be extremes in every discussion, not just coming out of Russia and America, but here in Ireland as well.
Yeah, and you know, I think when the internet began, it was this, you know, lovely, you know, idea of this, you know, this utopian idea of you'll get everybody on this space. It isn't the real world technically. It's, you know, it's a kind of a shadow world. People will be very positive on it. But, you know, we're just human and the world is as it is. You're going to have people who are nasty, you know what I mean? And the issue there is trying to get Twitter to actually police that properly. And Twitter's been quite slow in dealing with it. Only recently decided to crack down on people who are verified, who are known to be racist, known to be part of the alt-right. So it hasn't played its role in policing this particular space. Now, you can follow whoever you want to. So you can choose to follow people or not. You can block people if you don't like what you're saying. I use that a lot if I don't like some tweets that I get. You can mute people if you don't like what they're saying. You know, the ball really is in Twitter's court in terms of really cracking down on it. But expecting humans to act like they're really nice all the time, we don't do that, unfortunately, day to day anyway. If you're a mean person, you could be a million times meaner on the internet.
Indeed, Philip Nolan.
I do believe that people are much more reticent about being so abusive when they actually are looking at somebody face to face.
Yeah.
I mean, when Eileen Gleeson came out last week with what were genuinely very unfortunate comments about, you know, bad behaviours that lead to homelessness, that is just meaningless and also incendiary. But what it boiled down to was I then saw people on Twitter calling her by the most taboo word, Anglo-Saxon word in the English language. I don't think that's acceptable in a public forum. I don't think it's acceptable in person. I don't think it's acceptable online.
I wonder how many even sign their names even on Twitter to that, or how many hide behind handles.
Well, a lot of people hide behind the egg, which is just they don't have a picture of themselves at all. Others are made up names. But there are still people who put their names to these tweets. And that's, you know, in a sense, I know this sounds ridiculous. I almost admire them because at least they're not shielding themselves from what they will then face in terms of, you know, people coming back at them. But equally, I just think it behoves everybody. I freely admit I have been guilty of this myself. It behoves everybody to take a deep breath. Because it's 140 characters, or now 280, which has kind of half destroyed it as well. But, like, it just means that there's no nuance and there's no tone of voice. So no matter what you say, can only be taken at the face value of the words. And words are incredibly important. I mean, I've dealt with them for 38 years. They're my job. And so you really have to pick and choose your words terribly carefully if you don't want to be misinterpreted. And certainly what I find is then the mob kicks in. One person took me to task on the piece I wrote last week. And what I was trying to illustrate were there were two different aspects of Twitter last week that annoyed me. The first was the Barry Ward tweets. And the second was that Eileen Gleeson's basic argument was lost in the cacophony of outrage at how she phrased it. So the debate never happened. And yet somebody tried to say that I tried to conflate misogynistic tweets with her words about the homeless. I didn't. They were two completely separate issues I was dealing with and two different things that have made me annoyed with Twitter recently. But again, in 140 characters, there's no point in even getting involved in the argument because no matter what you say, then 20 more people row in and suddenly it's completely spiraled out of control. And the one rule I have is no matter what I put on Twitter on any one day, I never return to it the next day because sometimes you could be there for a week as more people see it and have their own temperance work. So if it doesn't happen to me before I go to bed, it's over. I don't get involved.
Aoife, there was a word that Philip used there, a very interesting word, mob. Mm. It seems the mobs do form on Twitter.
People have a real obsession with the word mob on Twitter, and that often means there's a huge amount of people that have an opinion that maybe they don't agree with, or a huge amount of people who are commenting on something like the Eileen Gleeson comments, like the Barry Walsh comment. I think sometimes what we're kind of losing sight of there is the fact that this is a whole new area, this kind of, you know, room and the space on social media to speak out. And what you do have is people finally, I suppose, in many cases, being able to talk who didn't have a voice, whose voice wasn't heard publicly, who, you know, didn't feel represented. So you have people who have, you know, you have women, you have minorities, you have a lot of people who are speaking out who, you know, weren't given a voice before. And you also have people who are really annoyed about certain things that are happening, who are kind of using their space to talk about it. And sometimes that's seen as a sort of mob mentality. Now, sometimes it is a bit of a, you know, a negative mentality, but it also is people who literally are saying, I've been talking about this for 20 years and nobody's listened to me. Now on Twitter, I can finally have my say. You know, I think that's very different to somebody who, sometimes I see profiles, it'll be some person spouting off abuse and you'll go in and it'll say, dad of three, loves Liverpool, you know. So some people have no idea how the behaviour, you know, comes off. But I also think, don't crack down on people when they're talking about serious issues. You know, we're talking about sexual harassment.
I've absolutely no wish for anybody to crack down. Because the one thing I would say about Twitter is that if you're going to talk about, you know, there being something like a Twitter police, then you have to know the nature of the police you appointed. I don't believe in censorship, and I've never asked for that. All I was asking for on Friday was, I just wish that when people have access to what probably is the freest discussion forum in the history of the world, I wish that they would also understand that with freedom of speech comes responsibility. And that doesn't mean that you can't criticise people, but as I said in the piece, I wish that people would play the ball and not play the man, or especially the woman.
Thank you very much, both of you. Philip Nolan, columnist of the Irish Daily Mail, Aoife Barry, assistant news editor of the journal.ie.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.